Good morning. What a lovely rabbly noise to join in worship today as we gather. Welcome to worship. We open the Bible. It contains our understanding of God throughout ages, through community experiences and the written word for us. We pour the water today, reminding ourselves that we are joined together in Christ in baptism and renewal and in faith. We light the Christ candle and the peace candle. We take some moments of quietness in the presence of God with the symbolism of the light and the cross and the water and the word. For the light shines in Christ and the flame of the Spirit is active in our world. Let's just take a moment to center and focus on the cross or the candle. Our call to worship has responses that I invite you to join in if you wish. This is the place and this is the time. Here and now, God waits to break into our experience.
To change our minds, to change our hearts, to change our ways.
To make us see the world in and the whole of life in a new light.
To fill us with hope, joy and certainty for the future.
This is the place, as are all places. This is the time, as are all times.
O God of this place and every place, God of this time and all time, here and now we praise you.
We acknowledge that wherever we meet today, we are on the traditional lands of the First Peoples of this country. And we respect their spiritual relationship with their country and our country. We acknowledge them as the traditional custodians and that their culture and heritage beliefs are still important today. So welcome to you all here this morning. It's lovely to see you gathered in a different format. It's amazing what a difference it makes looking out at you from up front here. And so welcome to those who are watching online at this moment and to those who will watch online at some other time. And we feel connected to you as part of our extended community, and we hope that you feel the same, that you're connected with us. And we say a particular hi to the people of Kimber who we know are joining us this morning. A prayer of thanksgiving. God of infinite love, we come today in many different settings and places in response to your warm tenderness to us. As the good shepherd of every flock and every tradition and culture, we come to worship you for your inclusive love and care of all that you have created. In confident trust, we gather together as your people in this time and in the places where we are to offer you our praises of thanks for the way your love is seen and experienced in all spheres of life. God of limitless mercy, we come in response to your gentle nurturing of us as we travel through life with all its challenges and blessings. Gracious God, as the compassionate carer of all people, we give you our thanks and praises for the way you support and strengthen us when we are at our weakest points in life and living. There are many times when we are overwhelmed by the pressures of life, and that is when we are most in need of our Good Shepherd to nurture us with your presence as you walk beside us, giving us the trust in you that we need. Day by day, God leads us to the deep, deep pools of peace, to the green, lush lawns of grace. Day by day, Jesus calls us to pour out ourselves in service, to anoint the stranger with hope. Day by day, the Holy Spirit shows us the community we could be, the family we are called to become. So let us join together in singing the song, Jesus calls us here to meet him, and stand if you are able. Confession and commitment. Lord, we would follow you wherever you might lead. Lord, we would follow you. Forgive us when we stumble and when we stray. Forgive us when distracted we lose our way. Be the one to whom we turn, whose hand we hold, and the shepherd who leads us safely to the fold. Lord, we would follow you wherever you might lead. Lord, we would follow you. Amen.
I had the privilege of growing up on the farm, a small dairy farm down just outside of Yankalilla on the Maiponga Main South Road, and we had chickens for eggs, and my dad was a beekeeper, so we always had honey and always got stung. But we also had sheep, and sheep mainly for meat, well, not only for meat, because we only had about 10, maybe 15 at the most. So we weren't a sheep business. So we would use them for our own eating and whatever. So we would have to help Dad catch the sheep. I think this is before... No, we did have a dog at that time, Rusty. And Rusty was a great friend of mine. He used to play cricket with me, and he would be a great fielder. But he would chase the sheep and the cows in the other direction that you wanted them to come to. So what we used to have to do is to round them up into a, like the picture on the front of the newsletter and on the screen, into a makeshift yard and try and catch them. Well, one day, I think I was about 15, and it was my job to stand in the gate or the hole or the where the, you know, the sheep were going to run out if they bolted. And this one quite large wether, I suppose, or you know, sheep, I don't know what the difference is, but eyeballed me. It was coming at, straight at me. It was full belt, and I was ready to catch it as it came, but I wasn't aware or ready for it to jump. You know how sheep jump? Jumped, hit me, knocked me over, but fortunately I grabbed hold of the back end of the sheep's wool and it dragged me about 20, 30 metres before I tackled it to the ground. It must have been a great sight. I am not a good shepherd. I'm glad that God is the good shepherd and that Jesus is also the shepherd and the gate to the sheepfold that we'll hear about later on. So having shared my testimony about sheep, let me share with you someone else's poem. Bruce Brewer, now deceased United Church minister, was in Adelaide, and he wrote this reflection on the Good Shepherd. I believe I need a shepherd because I am sometimes timid and other times overconfident. Because often I don't know the best path, yet I pretend. Because I rush into into dead ends or lead others into hazardous places. Because my brightest ideas are seamed with darkness. Because the things I crave may not be what is good for me. I need a shepherd. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. His wisdom leads me into optimum opportunities. His word comforts me when I'm anxious and afraid. His arm steadies me when I feel weary and heavy laden. His wounded body displays the cost of my rescue. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. I believe that I do not find him, but he finds me. That under his care, by virtue of sheer grace, the love he gives me is to be shared with others. That he treasures my name and prepares a place for me. That his fold transfixes earth and heaven. I trust Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I invite Bev to share with us the reading, one of the readings today from Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And now our New Testament reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Shall we join together in the song, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness? And stand if you are able, please.
Rejoice that we have a new father-son team on singing today. Welcome, Craig, to the gig. And of course, if anyone else wants to go on the singing roster, talk to us. Well, if you can sing, we'll gladly have you. This morning, I want to share and talk about the image of Jesus as being the gate or the door in other translations, as referred to in the Gospel from John chapter 10, and connect that with the common link of shepherd as reflected in Psalm 23. But right from the outset, we're dealing with simile. We're dealing with comparison, because we know that Jesus is not a series of planks of wood with a hinge and with a handle. He's not a gate. He's not a door. Here Jesus is saying, in effect, I am like a gate. I'm like a door. I am like bread. I am like the vine. I am like a good shepherd. You get this sort of thinking throughout John's gospel. Highly figurative, deeply metaphorical, symbolic. In fact, John's gospel is the only gospel that contains what are called the I am sayings of Jesus. They are unique to John's gospel. So we use doors all the time. You use the doors to get in here to church, and you'll use the doors to leave the church. They come in all shapes and sizes. Sliding doors, revolving doors, insect doors, security doors, gates in paddocks, fancy doors, trap doors, plane doors, car doors, fridge doors. The function of a door is to give or restrict access. It's either to let you in or to let you out. So the doorway is essentially an entry point. And Jesus is saying that he is the door, he is the gate by which you enter life. And then in verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. So let's flip over to Psalm 23. the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a great image. What a great statement. It's the opening line of that 23rd Psalm that we know so well. Surely it's the best known passage in the Bible after John 3:16. It's one of my favourite texts, along with the other reading today from John 10, that Jesus says that he has come that we might have life and life in all its fullness. And like most of the really well-known passages, sometimes its familiarity strips it of any surprise and value. It just slides through the consciousness, almost unheard. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. We know it well. We've used it at funerals, weddings. But it has obviously something of value to say. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so popular. Perhaps this psalm is so big and popular because it gives expression so beautifully and succinctly to our deepest yearnings that are in our hearts. It somehow connects with us. It sits with us. It fits like a well-worn jacket or jumper. Who wouldn't sigh at the thoughts of our spirit being revived as we lay lazily on lush green grass, surrounded by ferns, beside a crystal clear stream, or the mighty river Red Gums on the Murray River? In an ever-changing world of uncertainty, of global issues, and far, far too many options, and way, way, way too much information than we can ever process, who doesn't long for a trustworthy guide? Someone to lead the way, to show us the sure paths, in whose presence takes away fear, even in those dark and threatening places. And doesn't something rumble within us at the thought of the gracious host welcoming us to a banquet table, laden with the finest of foods and fruits, carefully prepared delicacies of every kind, chocolate, the wine waiter who never lets your glass be empty? How much time do we spend feeling that we're running harder and harder and running around in circles, always pursued by the demands and stresses and pressures of our life? Don't we crave for the day when all that pursues us is kindness, faithfulness, and love? Pursuers whom we gladly surrender to and take our rest as the guest of the one who revives our soul. Even our less admirable wishes get a mention in this psalm. The desire to see our enemies, those who've scoffed at us, those who have insulted us, those who have opposed us, to see the looks on their faces as they see us vindicated and rewarded with faithful endurance. If you have any doubts at all, then these images speak into our hopes and dreams. If you have any doubts at all of the reality of that, turn on the television. Watch the commercials. See how many of them use the same image or variations. They lure us into something, associating their product with expectations of happiness and fulfillment and finding rest and safety. You see, advertisers and marketers are the experts of knowing how to hook you and drag you in. They say, fly with us. We'll get you there quicker and more comfortable. In quiet luxury, rest your spirit. Or the advertisers say, eat here Eat here at our place. Fresh, mouth-watering food. You won't be unsatisfied. Or you can eat, or the bottomless cup of coffee. Or drive this car. It goes faster than the others. See how jealous and snooty your neighbours will be when you rock up with a new SUV in the driveway. Or sit on this lounge from Nick Scali Furniture and relax. They lie, of course. At best, these goods and services will only satisfy for a short term. Often the day after we purchase them, well, we might feel whole and fulfilled, but we know those promises don't come to much. The itch has been scratched. It feels good. Satisfaction is elusive as ever. So Psalm 23 is not a prescription that life is always going to be good. It's not going to fix us. But it's one person's prayer, or it's a community's prayer of gratitude and recognition of the one in whom they trust, who have they found the doorway to life and full living and proper living, the doorway to life as mentioned by Jesus in John 10. Psalm 23 certainly doesn't say, go to church and all this will be yours. But its popularity and its testimony, like the writer has found, that they've journeyed deep into communion with God. They've allowed God to shepherd them. They've found the source of life, a river of life that flows up and gushes up. We can gather around a doorway or a gate, and then we can walk away. We can go back to shopping for the goods and services that promise the world. Or you can go through that doorway and enter that journey with God. At Jesus' invitation, we've done that. We hear the voice of Jesus saying, I am the gate. I am the door. Listen to my voice. Come to me. For it is God, where deep speaks to deep, that life speaks to life. Those images in Psalm 23 are no more than windows, no more than glimpses into what we might look for and what life can be. Yes, it's an ancient text, it's an old text, but with deep meaning and imagery for today. It's only on that journey, it's only on that moment when we walk through the gate, when we walk into the sheepfold, when we walk along the river of life, that we journey with Jesus and allow Jesus, his way, his life, his teaching, his experiences to shepherd us. Then we might know or remember what the psalmist meant about deepest yearnings, sitting beside still waters and around a banquet table. So we can say, you are my shepherd, O God, for I want for nothing, satisfaction indeed. You rest me in green pastures, and leading me beside still waters, you restore my soul. You lead me along paths, right paths, for your name's sake, O God, is glorified in all I say and do. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, guiding and comforting me. You treat me as an honored guest, preparing a table before me even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup of blessing overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in your presence forever. I invite us to join together in prayer as I pray. We praise you, God, for giving shape and meaning to the ancient image of yourself as shepherd through the person of Jesus. In him, your compassion has been eternally revealed, giving your rod and staff the human face of love. Through Jesus' persistence, even to death, your goodness and mercy has been abundantly experienced. His ongoing life continues to guide and lead us in paths of righteousness. How can we do other than praise and adore you, O God, and listen to Jesus' voice as he calls us to follow him? Amen. We join together in the song, Come and Find the Quiet Center. I invite us to stand, and during this song, the offering will be brought forward. Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter, and find the frame where we are freed.
To a prayer for our offerings, and the offerings of money, and here in the bowl, and that which is transferred electronically in various ways, but also the offerings of our hearts at this time. Let us pray. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your generosity. You were rich, yet for our sake you became poor, so that through your poverty we might be enriched. With our praise, accept all our gifts, that they may be used wisely for the enrichment of others and for the glory of your name. Amen. So, a time for our notices, and you have received, I hope, the newsletter electronically or picked one up from the foyer, or if you haven't, there's one for you to pick up out there. Just a reminder that there is a meeting of the congregation after this service, which will begin which is here in the church, which is why we're set up like this today. So please go out and collect your coffee and bring it back. We'd like the meeting to start about 15 minutes after the end of the service. So there's a few things to notice in here. Next Saturday, there's a working bee here at on the 6th of May, starting at 9 o'clock. And so there's all sorts of tasks that you can be involved in outside and inside, in the church, in the foyer, and in the other rooms as well. There's the Emmanites fundraising and Early Mother's Day Devonshire Tea here next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock with scones and coffee and tea, and the tickets are available from the church office or from trybooking.com. So we also share the news about Bob Lomond's funeral details. That's there in the newsletter, which will be held at Barry's funeral service on McGill Road on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And we extend our sympathy and prayers for you, Julie, as you say goodbye to your husband. We also received the sad news that Jill Thompson died on Thursday, and our thoughts and prayers are with Faye and other members of the congregation. And although it's not in the newsletter, the funeral will be held here next Friday at 10:30. And the other sad news is that Bruce and Anne said goodbye to Wallace this week. So we keep them in our hearts at this time as well. We come to our prayers for others, and there are responses on the screen. Loving God, help us to pray with something of the compassion of Christ in our hearts as we think of our brothers and sisters in all lands. We pray for the taming of the wolves of terrorism and war, violence and hate on the face of this earth.
Good Shepherd, hear us and pray.
We pray for the end of injustice, neglect and discrimination, and the apathy of those who look on yet do nothing. We pray for people who have been misled and misused by false shepherds, or exploited spiritually or materially by slick religious or political salespeople.
Good Shepherd, hear us.
We pray for the removal of the hurts, resentments, misunderstandings, for the rescue of those who once had faith in God but have fallen into empty cynicism. We pray for the blessing of all who are good shepherds to their fellow humans, who foster, or the world, who foster hope through the work of medicine, counselling, social planning, legal aid, wise laws, and sincere good neighbourliness.
Good Shepherd, hear us.
We pray especially for the dying and the grieving, the sick and the suffering, in our time around the planet, in cities, towns and villages, that they may know firsthand the comfort of the shepherd whose love does not terminate at the valley of the shadow of death. Most loving God, enable your flock, us, your people, to embody the spirit of these prayers in our words and our intentions, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so I invite you to stand, if you're able, to sing with, join together, filled with the Spirit's power.
Spirit in the church today.
again, a reminder, we are all welcome to grab a cuppa, come back, join in the life of the church around the meeting of the congregation. It's our church and it's our time to share news, make some decisions, and where we might be leading into the future and in fellowship. May the fold of Christ keep you safe from the wild things that are too fierce for you. May the door of Christ open wide for your spirit to go out and experience the sunshine of God. May the foresight of Christ, the Good Shepherd, lead you into fruitful pastures and beautiful places. So the blessing of God, most wonderful, will certainly be with you as you leave these doors today, as we go and gather and encounter the many joys and invitations during this week. So God go before you, may God lead you, may God be beside you in all you do and say. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you. You might like to share that with others.